the rest is history for Nick Nurse, and he just got announced today was coach of the month.
They give coaches of the month in basketball?
Absolutely, yeah, man.
That's such a
grease. And he deserves it.
Unnecessary.
He deserves it.
Not to take away from Nick and the Raptor love, but like, come on, coach of the month.
Here is longtime NBA executive and now NBA insider with ESPN, Bobby Marks. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
We're fine. We're doing well up here, man. The Raptors are 15-4 and
vaulted into the top 10.
Do they give executives of the month?
Yeah, where are you at?
Like, where does it end?
They don't even do. I think you got to wait until after the year. I don't even know if that's even a league honor anymore. I think it's something. I don't know who's. I guess maybe the other executives.
The executives
vote on
give
that,
it to each other.
Yeah, they do. You actually vote. You have to vote. I think all 30 vote, and you can't vote for yourself. So I think that's how they do it.
I like it.
But if I'm giving an award, I'm giving it's probably to their player development group. There, I mean, to get these guys Terrence Davis is of the world ready when you've got injuries to Kyle and, certainly Serge and Malcolm Miller and Chris Boucher and guys like that. I mean, I think if I'm going to give an early season award, it's to that back end of that coaching staff there.
I think that's 100% valid, and they're getting a lot of love up here. I mean, Terrence Davis is being compared to a guy on his own team, Fred VanVleet, someone who went undrafted. Masai and company found him, signed him, and we all know what VanVleet's all about. We all know what he's going to get paid by the end of this year. And Terrence Davis, even though it's very early into his career, he looks very comfortable, but more importantly, looks very confident. And how do you seek that out? I mean, as a former executive yourself, you would have seen a lot of college kids, a lot of European players. How do you find confidence in a player and believe that it's going to translate in the NBA?
Well, a lot of it has to do with, going to the pre-draft camp, seeing these guys work out, Portsmouth, bringing them in there for your individual workout. The best thing for him, and, we get caught up in if a guy doesn't get drafted in the second round or, with Terrence going undrafted, I mean, he has basically his pick of two-way contracts, and he bet on himself in summer league and played extremely well, and it's worked out with him for, similar to what Fred was able to do, and it's kind of that next man up approach, and that's been the bread and butter of this coaching staff in the front office. We've talked about Pascal forever, about being picked in the late 20s, and he wasn't picked in a lottery. They've been a playoff team since 2012, 2013, or 2013, 2014. Mm-hmm. And it's basically these undrafted late first, early second round guys that kind of mesh in with what they already had along with some good trades.
Fred VanVleet, you talk about a guy rising up the ranks, 19 points per game, 7.5 assists. How big of a contract is he in line at four? He's not a max player, I wouldn't imagine. What's he staring at when he finally gets back to it?
Well, I think he's hurt a little bit based on where the market's going to be this summer. It's not like last year where we had 15, 16 teams with a lot of room, cap space. We're really just looking at Atlanta, who's got, Trae Young. We've got Charlotte, who, you gave big money to Terry Rozier. Memphis has, Ja Morant there. Cleveland has, Darius Garland and Colin Sexton. So it's kind of a process of elimination. But I did talk to a team that didn't have cap space, and they were asking, what do you think Fred's number is? I thought it was 18 to 20, somewhere around there. And they said, we just had our, internal meetings and we have guys talking about 25, 26 million. I said, whoa, that's a big number. But hey, I didn't think D'Angelo Russell was a $27 million guy last year. And I think what we learn is the market dictates it. The market dictates as well as your play, as far as where your contract's going to be. But they've got an advantage. They've got, full bird rights. They can exceed the cap to bring him back. He's been there, won a championship, so that they basically are, it's almost like with, I guess with Kawhi, you're basically in-house recruiting him for the year, and hopefully it works out a little bit better there.
Yeah, a lot better. we'll take a title.
It's pretty good right now, though.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. It's definitely not bad. And I think Kyle Lowry returning to the lineup and how healthy he is in his role the rest of the year will factor into the value of VanVleet in a way as well, because they were sharing the backcourt. I assume when Kyle comes back, they'll do that again. Starting games, finishing games in the fourth quarter, the two of them in the backcourt. But Kyle Lowry has always been, the heartbeat of this team, the captain, the alpha dog, whichever way you want to describe it. And he's still got immense talent. He was playing well before he got injured. But I think Van Vliet has the potential to surpass him this year if he has not already as an impact guy. How do you think Nick Nurse will handle that in terms of, you know, sharing the ball and specifically sharing the backcourt between Van Vliet and Lowry?
Well, it's almost a, you know, you never want to see injuries, but it's almost a blessing with Kyle's injury, because my concern with both those guys, their minutes were heavy. I mean, right? I mean, they were at 36, 37, you know, right there, top 10 in the league. And especially for Fred, just because I didn't know if he can handle that for the season. I think with, you know, Kyle being out for a while here, kind of gives him a rest, kind of gets his body fresh for when he does come back here. So I think you'll probably see a lot of it, what they did, you know, earlier in the year. I think you're going to see a heavy workload here. But I think there's, what the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks showed is that there is confidence of guys that, you know, the Terrence Davis of the world that that can come off the bench and give you any relief. And it'll be interesting when we get closer to the deadline. You know, is there a point guard out there that maybe you can kind of give yourself a little bit more of an insurance? You know, the restrictions on free agents get lifted in about 2 weeks here, and it opens up the market. So I think that's kind of be something to watch, but I think we're going to probably see some heavy work, you know, minutes with both guys.
With Bobby Marks of ESPN, the story of Carmelo Anthony is well documented. He returns to Portland, and his numbers have been off the charts. And I honestly, I can't believe it. Like, I'm looking at this guy's numbers, and it's not like he didn't have that talent or capability, but he hasn't been in the league.
No, like, people are all tweeting saying, I would have never predicted this, and I'll eat it on this one. And everyone else is saying, me too.
You're
me
looking
too.
At yeah, me one too. Of them, man. I didn't see this coming. And Portland, you know, they're on the outside looking in. I'm not sure they can get back in. Is it crazy to think he could be a trade chip come the trade deadline if they're officially out at that point?
Well, he can't. He can't be traded because he signed his contract in late November, and you have a three-month restriction. But it's a fascinating story, guys, because, I mean, that Portland team was taken on water. I mean, they were losing games, and, you know, he's kind of come in, and you're right, he hasn't played in a year, and he's playing, you know, basically starter minutes here. And how does your body handle that from when you're sitting out a year? And we're pegging him, hey, if he comes back in the league, he's going to have to be a rotational player in 15 to 20 minutes, and game one they start right off the bat. And he's been great. I mean, he fits because that's basically an ISO heavy team with Lillard and McCollum and Zach Collins being out. He fits a role right now. We'll see if it continues, you know, down the stretch. But I thought when we were doing this, we were talking free agency the summer, and we got to the point in, I think, second week of July, and they asked me for my top five free agents left, and I had Carmelo on there because I thought there was still a role for him. You know, we diminished everything he did based on Oklahoma City, how it ended in Houston, but the guy can come off the bench and give you 12 to 14 points, and we're seeing a little bit more of that right now.
The two L.A. teams have done exactly what we expected that they would do. They're 17-3 with the Lakers, 15-6 with the Clippers. Again, Paul George missed the month of November, effectively, and certainly, you know, late October, and Kawhi's in and out of the lineup, yet they're still putting up massive numbers. I think we're going to be posing this question and debating it throughout the year, but as of December 2nd, who do you think is the best team in L.A.?
I think the Clippers are, and I know we haven't seen a great body of work with Kawhi and Paul because of injuries and how, you know, Doc has handled, you know, the maintenance issue. I like them their defensive mentality. When you've got, you know, Patrick Beverley and you've got Montrezl Harrell, guys like that, they've got, you know, Mo Harkless, and then those two players, there. And I think that the Lakers, I think they should be applauded for their start. I mean, 17-3, 17-4, but I think it's a little bit smoke and mirrors because of, you look at the schedule they played. I think it's the, you know, fifth easiest so far. And it feels like every time I turn on TV, they're playing Memphis or Oklahoma City or, you know, one of those other teams. And you saw in the Denver and the Toronto loss, you saw it last night in Dallas that, you know, hey, when the competition gets a little bit better here, things change. But when you've got those two monsters with AD and LeBron, it gives you a chance. I think what it's done is that you can bank games and you can give yourself some separation from the Clippers and Denver when you get in from a seeding standpoint.
Great stuff as always, Bobby. We always appreciate you taking time for us.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you.
There's Bobby Marks.
Guest of the month right there.
Guest of the month.
I had one little nugget, and you didn't let me get to it. The rejigging of the schedule in the second round.
Oh, yeah, we should have asked that.
The tournament.
We've been talking about it.
The tournament.
All day. Well, where were you on that one?
I was just going to, and you're like, see you later. Thanks, Bobby. I'm like, I wasn't going to say, hey, Bobby, by the way.
But that I didn't know you were coming in. I didn't realize I needed to call you in from the bullpen on that. I thought you'd just pounce.